He is a comeback fighter of 2009, folks. I kid you not. I'm talking about Showtime's Nick Charles. Nick, wonderful to have you in the house this evening, man. Very good evening to you. How are you and the family?
Pedro, we're doing well. I couldn't be better. When we talk about comebacks and this and that, and people were just, in fact, I was just looking at messages from friends and people in boxing, actually, and I said, you know, what alternative did I really have? It was, my choice was either to check out or fight this thing, and so far, somebody else called me and in boxing earlier and said, you know, it's sort of like a 12-round fight. Hey, man, you were really knocked down early and lost some 10-8 rounds with this kind of thing, with this kind of cancer. But it's like a guy who's coming back is like Juan Manuel Marquez against Pacquiao, that type of thing.
Okay. I you are on the Wall of Fame at ringtalk.com, and you are there because of the contributions you made not only to the broadcasting biz, of course, one of the original, I can say this affectionately, one of the original talking heads of CNN. How's that sound?
Well, you know what? I always used to look at some of those anchors. I said, they have anchor butt, and like even and from, you know, the thin veneer from so-and-so to so-and-so, but behind that, like, face or something, there was, you know, the porch light was on, but nobody was home, that type of thing. I mean, I've seen enough anchors who were talking heads who say, hello, my name is blank, because they didn't fill in the blanks on the teleprompter. The one thing we always prided ourselves on in sports, and every sports person who does highlights, etc., who's an anchor, you know, you got to think on your feet, and you write your own copy for better or worse. So it's more than a lot of news anchors do, you know, and at least in UK and in Europe, they call them news readers. I never thought I was that. I always thought, hey, man, for better or worse, I got to use my own language. And either it's helped me or hurt me all these years, but I'm still standing.
Good enough. Your first card back now in several months, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Chris Avalos and Jose Nuevas. That was your main event, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, and it was. I thought it would be a bigger challenge for Avalos. He was he's the kind of guy. He's got a lot of confidence, bordering on cocky. You know, he seems to be in a rush at 21 or 20, actually, just turned 20. 15 fights now, and I thought that Nieves, with such a solid technical foundation, Pedro would give him fits for a while anyway, at least to survive and stretch him out. First scheduled 10 rounder. First main event on national television, but Avalos is all about aggression, and sometimes his best defense is his offense, but he really took it to this Puerto Rican, and I was very impressed. So, you know, we're talking maybe this guy, next thing, maybe a top 15 fighter. I wouldn't rush somebody at 20, but he seems to be really on the right kind of flight path to being somebody special.
Do you know why cocky kids and kids from the hood have to be pushed? I mean, sort of have to take an accelerated path to stardom? Because longevity is not in the card sometimes because of their lifestyle, because of where they're from, the whole nine yards. It's just not happening. You hear what I'm saying? So, like Fernando Vargas, they rushed him into that fight with Trinidad because, you know, he was having problems outside of the ring. So
that's a good point, Pedro. You know, I fully understand that growing up in Chicago in a poor neighborhood, and I understand about boxers always that you want to be somebody so bad. But then, you know, it could go bad. We were talking about Francisco Bojano the other day,
yeah.
And we saw him on Showbox our first year. And I said, man, this guy could be extraordinary. And then the second or third time he was on the show, his entourage was bigger than Tyson's. And I said, you know, this is something wrong for a guy who's so far away from being a champion. So it's a matter of keeping your head on straight, and that's really difficult because boxing, you know, historically you spring from nothing. You spring from nothing, and all of a sudden you're somebody, and you just have to keep it in check and keep it in perspective, and it's really asking a lot, as you said, from a young guy. But one thing about Avalos, and back to him, not that the show's about him, he's very well grounded and focused. He's got two parents with him all the time. They're in his corner. His mother is really the stone-cold boss of the family. His father trains him. And it's the kind of foundation that really, really helps. And it's good to see. When we go to the fighters' meetings, his mom's there, his father's there, and you don't often see that with fighters and with a lot of athletes, you know.
You're tuned to Extra Sports 860, home of the Stanford Cardinal, and of course, the Oakland Athletics of the American League. Of course, we've got baseball season just coming up in a couple of months, folks, so don't forget the Oakland A's are here, 860 on the AM dial. Extra Sports 860, the new sports authority here in Northern California. On the line from his lair on the East Coast, of course, is Showtime's very own Nick Charles making his big comeback this past Friday night on Showbox, going to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, you know, this is your first fight card in how long? 7 months?
I did the Pacquiao for Showtime. It's 6 months. Yeah. Pedro, I did the Pacquiao Cotto fight, the international feed. Bob Arum was great. Bob Arum says, "Hey, I don't care what you look like. We know you could do the job." You know, because I look like I went 15 with Foreman and then 15 with Frazier in their primes. You know, from all this chemo and stuff. And it was really a struggle getting at least up until the day. I was hurting. I got to be honest with you, but I said I got to suck this up because I made a commitment. But I was just laying in bed and Vegas, and bingo, I woke up that morning. I said, wow, I feel like $1 million. I could run through a wall. So, you know, that adrenaline got me through that card. But now that I've been off the chemo for almost 2 months, it's just a big difference in the whole bit, the energy and such. But, yeah, to be back, I was just talking to my boss at Showtime, Gordon Hall, and a lot of well-wishers. And it didn't seem like I missed a beat. I never felt like I was away. But I really never believed. I always held out a lot of hope that Showbox would be part of my future. And sure enough, it has been. So, hey, life is really good. I can't complain, Pedro. And not only that, I'm very, very grateful about life. I think I always have been. That's helped my attitude. You know, it's just that no matter how many knocks you take in life, and sometimes you look at things and you say, I never said why me with stuff. I just have always tried to expect the best in people. I'm not some naive dude, believe me. Okay.
Nick Charles, our guest, having come back from cancer, folks, the 2009 Comeback Fighter of the Year. Got to switch subjects a little bit. We'll stay with the medical issue, health insurance. Are you paying 20% of your medical bills? Are you paying all your medical bills? Do you have health insurance? How did it go down?
Well, no, thank God. I got to tell you, you got to be covered in this country. You know, my wife works for CNN, and we have policies through her, of course, because I'm a gun for hire in boxing. You know, you don't get, believe me, I'm not crying, but it's a different thing. But I don't know if this is even something you brought it up. So I'll tell you little things like when you go for chemo and they really give it to you because they got to give you the strong stuff and they knock the hell out of you. Well, when your red blood count goes down to nothing, you're on the floor and you're that's the gas in your tank, but your white blood count goes to pot too. So you're susceptible to any kind of infection. So when you leave the hospital at the end of your chemo, each time they give you a shot. Well, the shot costs $6,000. It's six large for a shot. So think about that. If you don't have great insurance, I've talked to nurses, I've talked to doctors. I said, can everybody get this shot? I got really good insurance. And some people have said, oh, they'll give it to everybody gets it. Some people say, no, people don't take it. And it's really a shame in our country, you know, that some people can't afford and they got to pass on something that obviously could threaten their life to do without.
The only modern country in the world without some type of health plan for the poor and downtrodden in this country. Okay, shifting gears from that. So you've come back now. What's the weight like? Have you put on the weight? Put the weight back on?
I never lost it, man. I was in the gym 4 or 5 times a week, all the time. I said, you know, you're looking at the dumbbells. You're doing this. Your energy's down. Maybe you're not working as fast, but I said, I'm just going to work just as hard. And really, with the strength, how you could at least measure yourself in the gym, and you say, you know, I'm lifting the same amount of weights, doing the same amount of reps, and doing the same type of workouts I did before I knew I had cancer. So I thought that was really psychologically and physically important for me, and it really helped me, I think, because, you know, when I was doing chemo, these 4-day knockout sessions, you know, you're doing wall push-ups and dips, and the first couple of days the nurses are laughing at me and the doctors, and then I remember the fourth day I was doing them, my last day, the nurses are doing them with me, you know, and they said, you know, you're doing the right thing, because a lot of people come in, and everybody has different cancers, Pedro, everybody. When people call me, oh, Lance Armstrong beat it, he had a different kind of thing. It was a different deal. You know, my uncle had this. But the point is, they said, there's a lot of cancers here, but the people who do crappy are the ones who go in bed, lay there for four days, get the chemo, and they do lousy because they got a bad attitude, and they go home, and it just doesn't seem to help them, you know. So I think that's the one thing you could control is a good attitude and taking care of yourself, because, damn, I took care of myself before this, you know, and it still happened to me. It was a random thing, so I'm not gonna spit the bit out, like they say at the racetrack.
You know, when I've had a lot of death in the family in the past 15 years, mother, father, stepfather, this and that.
Oh, boy.
Stepfather, when he had cancer and the chemo, this and that, I used to pick him up. We take him over. We used to give him brownies and pot and that kind of good stuff, and that really relieved him. I mean, that really brought him back down to earth, and he told me that because of that he was able to eat and he was able to sort of keep his mind off of his woes. Was medicinal marijuana part of your recovery?
No, somebody asked me that the other day. I never even considered it. I mean, the side effects are horrible with the chemo, with this heavy, because they gave me the hardest chemo there is. They said, either that or you're going to be, I don't want to sound melodramatic, but I said, what if I don't take this chemo? They said, well, you got 4 to 6 months to live. That's it. You know, so I said,
yikes.
Well, the choice is right there. I'm taking it. But they said, we're going to hit you with the biggest bat we got. It's the only way to stop this. So, you know, and you're going to get side effects, and I don't even want to get into them. They're really, really bad on your body. So I understand where your stepfather was coming from, but I just said, you know, I'm toughing this through. I don't know if I'm eating cardboard here or, you know, or a juicy steak, but I'm going to get through it and whatever it is, you know. And there were days, yeah, it was no fun, but like I said, what's the alternative, Pedro? You know, I believe in eternity. I'm good with that. I'm good with God. I'm not like frightened about it. Nobody wants to die, but so I had a lot of peace, but I want to be around. I got a little daughter I love so much, my wife, you know, it's so much more. I want to learn. I want to see more fights. You know, I look at these young kids come up, Chris Avalos, hey, I want to be around to see him go for the title or not. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of motivation for me. At the same time, I'm very much at peace, but I always felt, well, you know, thank God I didn't get too nauseated. I've heard the horror stories. At least I was able to eat, and I kept eating, and, you know, so I kept my weight up. It's great.
Okay. Victor Conti was on the show a few weeks ago. He of Tower of Power fame back in the 70s, and of course,
yeah.
The man that ran Balco, the mad scientist, from rock musician to mad scientist. I've never understood that, but he sort of tried to explain that in a one-hour show. In fact, he just told me he might be here for the entire show next week here on Extra Sports 860 at 6:05 p.m. next Sunday night when Pedro Fernandez takes over the radio airwaves here on the new Sports Authority of Northern California. So Victor Conti says that EPO is something that increases the amount of oxygen in an athlete's blood from 25% to 30%. And he said that guys can take this, and that he said, you know, he said that Shane Mosley admitted taking it under oath and things like that. But guys can take this, and what it does is it increases their endurance dramatically. I mean, imagine having 30% more in the tank than in the 10th round than your foe, and you guys are of equal stature. So what I'm trying to say is, what about this thing with Floyd Mayweather? Was there merit to what he was saying, in which he wanted Pacquiao tested, now that Mosley's going to agree to that same type of testing?
Well, you know, I mean, sure, Mosley will. Mosley was guilty the one time, as you say, but I don't want to get... I think the important thing here is, at the racetrack, a jockey, they have to have an assurance of innocence because you're betting on game. I mean, that was always the premise of horse racing. If it wasn't gambling, nobody would go to the racetrack. But boxing supposedly is a little different. The unfortunate thing is there's no regulation. You know as well as I, Pedro, you do a fight in St. Louis or something, Missouri at a Hilton hotel, which guys have done. They don't do the proper medicals really and such. They don't pay for all the stuff. Now, I think a blood test would be great for every fighter, but I think it would be fabulous. How much would it cost? Now you're talking about undercards. A promoter does a little card in Oklahoma off TV. Is he going to be inclined to do a boxing card if he's got to pay $200 for every fighter's blood test?
And I'm with you on that one. I'm talking about the mega fights where there's millions of dollars on the line.
But how do you draw the line? But you say, okay, once a fight is over $1 million, you have to do it. I'm all for it. I think it would be fabulous. I want the assurance of innocence. You know, when I say a guy's packed on weight, you know, I was at CNN doing the good feel-good story, chasing Sosa and McGuire all over the country. Wow, this is great. This is just what baseball needed back then. And then, you know, there's that suspicion, and people are turning a blind eye and saying, no, it's too good for the game. And Manny Pacquiao's too good for the game right now. You know, he really is. He's absolutely crossed over a little bit, and he's got people who aren't big boxing addicts interested in the game. But that said, if he has nothing to hide is the one argument, then do it. But Mayweather, is he trying to get into his head? Is it legitimate? Do you not want to fight him? Mayweather couldn't have known, no, Pacquiao won't do this. It's just an excuse to get out of the fight because I'm afraid of the guy. There's too much money on the table. Yeah, you know, I think Floyd's really after preserving that carefully constructed perfect record. I mean, that said, I already picked him to beat Pacquiao in that fight, and I could tell you my reason someday. But I would love to see it across the board because it's not going to hurt anything, and I'd hate to see yet another scandal for this sport. We don't need it.
The Comeback Kid, Nick Charles on the line. When's your next Showtime gig?
Saturday, next Friday night, actually. I can't wait. We got a doubleheader. I'm just working on the script right now, and that's sort of interesting. Freddie Hernandez, a guy who's 30, he's got one loss. Is he a prospect? Is he a legitimate top 15 welterweight someday? He's 27-1, but he's fighting DeMarcus Corley, who's lost, really, he's won only 5 of his last 13 fights, but he could make a lot of people look bad today, and that's what we're hoping, that he will really be a test for this guy. And we'll see where Hernandez is. Does he fit the Showbox profile? Is he a fraud? Does he get exposed? Does he take the next step? You know, I just hope Corley has enough left to really be a challenge there. So that's our main event, and you know, just excited to be back. I wish we could do a fight every night. You know me, Pedro.
Pound for pound, the baddest man around, Nick Charles of Showtime. Nick, congratulations on the comeback. Say hello to wife, and I wish you the very best in 2010, my brother.
And to you, Pedro. I hope I see you ringside sooner than later, buddy.